Amen. So, all right. So, Father God, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this message that you have placed on my heart. I think it goes well with what the house is and a place of healing. And then we get to see the fruits of it. We get to see the outcome of it. We get to see what happens with the wounds when they become sealed up, God, and they're left with something called beautiful scars, Father. And we get to see what the representation of those scars are today. And I just appreciate you just being able to, like, just speaking to me with these, you know, simple things, Father. And hopefully it just touches the heart of the people here, Lord. Allow myself not be the one to bring the message forward, but let your Holy Spirit be the one to act through me, Father. Because I can miss the mark so easily, but Lord, you hit it every single time, and I just want to follow in the way that you have, Father. I just want to follow in the ways that you have planned for me. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. So I was thinking about this the other day, and it kind of goes with the mercies of God, because how many of us know that the scars are the signs of God's mercy in our lives? And I have plenty of scars myself, and a lot of them come from different areas of my life. You know, a lot of them from youth, you know, doing crazy stuff and the curiosity. Especially, I have one on my wrist here, which is kind of a dummy story, but I was sitting under a desk one day, and I was like, okay, let's see if I can cut a pencil in half. And I was this is the mind of a child and what they think. So I'm cutting it, and I'm not cutting away from myself, but I'm cutting towards myself. Next thing you know, I end up cutting a big old line in my arm right here. And this is not from a suicide attempt. That, trust me, there's other things in the past from that, but we're not gonna talk about that right now. So I end up having to go to the hospital, get 12 stitches for it, and that's because my curiosity got the best of me. Scars on my hands, you know, I mean, if you work with your hands throughout the day, like mechanics, you know, carpenters doing construction, any type of hard work, you get scars built up on your hands and calluses. And it shows like the dedication that I have towards my job, but it's also like, you know, the work that I do unto the Lord. And it's also a good way to make income, which, you know, I need to live. But it shows, even now, it's like, you can look at my hands and see, you know, busted knuckles and stuff, and a lot of choice words come out of those busted knuckles, but it shows that, you know, I stayed with it to the end until the project was complete. My head, my ignorance of my youth is running into something. I got you'd have to get close to see it, but I got a little pinhole here, and I ran into the end of a cabinet, and my mom always told me when I hit it, it was like squirting blood out, like you would see in like a type of movie and stuff. And then the mental scars, a lot of stuff from the past. And of course, I explained my testimony before, just excerpts of it, you know, going through addiction, you know, being left alone, being on the street, having to eat out of the trash. That's stuff that sticks with you. And it reminds me of the times where I had to go through struggles, but the struggles is not what made me. It's where I came to afterwards to be able to be where I'm at today. But you get to see these, not just through myself, but if you take a moment, you can look at your own scars, and you can see a story in all of those. And you can look back and see, like, even the mental scars. And scars aren't a significance of, you know, the pain that's there. It's those wounds that have been closed up and healed over time. And that's like, when I remember coming into the house, I was dealing with a lot of conflict between the different, I guess, denominations that I had attended to throughout the years, whether it be a Baptist, whether it be, you know, as a young child, I went to an Episcopal church. So it was totally different than what I known, and all this doctrine and stuff that I made to myself. I totally just blanked right here, but I know what I was talking about, but good grief. There we go. So going through all these different doctrines and, you know, having church hurt because from a specific place, I don't want to badmouth any place, so I'm not going to do that. I'd rather keep, you know, the peace. But going through an area where I felt like I was less than and overlooked, and it really played this thought in my head to where it's like, you know, is this all I'm ever going to be? Is just someone that can, you know, do the minimal or do the most, but always get looked at as someone that does the minimal. But I stepped into the house, and I remember, like, through all the stuff that I thought I dealt with through counseling, through the stuff I dealt with through going to AA and NA meetings and all this stuff, I stepped in here, and I remember, like, sitting in where they're sitting now in the third row. And I remember, like, the word of God that came to me was shalom. And I heard it loud and audible, and it was multiple shaloms. It kept saying shalom, shalom, shalom. And then I felt this overwhelming peace come upon me. But it took a while before I can get to a place to where I was starting to heal, because I didn't know that I needed healing. I still bear those open wounds. And when I got to a place to where I started to figure out, you know, what I had been taught before was completely wrong, that's when I started to get to a place of knowing that these wounds need to be healed and trusting Jesus to do that. But having people in a community around me that allow me to heal was one of the biggest things. So I go through, I'm like coming through the house. I had to get real with a lot of stuff. It was hard because a lot of the freedoms that I didn't have before is something that I stepped into when I did come here. And when I learned what freedom truly was, a lot of the things inside me had to shift. And then once that shift started to happen, I understood that my heart was turned to the wrong place, because it was more towards the area of works rather than an area of, like, loving and relationship. And that's one of the hardest parts for me is being taught through the religious aspect that it's the works that I need to of specific things that I need to do rather than have this relationship with people, because, you know, people are going to let you down, but the Lord is never going to let you down. And God's sitting there, or the Father and Jesus is sitting there telling me, it's like, no, you need to have the community around you, because they're the people that are going to be the ones that hold your arms up when you're feeling weak and feeling low. It's like, I'm going to be there with you always, but I have set aside a specific people for you. And once I learned that, the trust that I had, the trust that I needed to learn to be able to love you guys was starting to have its work inside me. And I remember when I first came in, it was hard for me to, like, to really, I connected on a level of religious intent. And I can call that out now because I have more wisdom than I did before. And now that I'm sitting in this place where it's like, okay, I can let people in now. I'm still got my introvert ways where it's just like, you know, I'll talk to you, but if my social meter's down, it's like, I'll probably sit up here and just, like, look around and love on people from a distance. But it doesn't mean I don't love you. But I learned these things, and I learned that through the healing, like, it caused these scars of the past, you know, to show up. And I can look at those scars and say, like, I wasn't in a place to where I can efficiently love and build bonds and relationship with people back then. But now I can look at these callouses, these marks on me, or like mental scars, and say, like, you know, they're building me up to be able to love more. They're building me up to change my heart, changing my whole perspective. As, you know, you would say, and so as though my lenses were changed. And we can look at, you know, through different parts of scripture to, you know, to back this stuff. But I'm going to look at a couple different other ones. But, you know, throughout history, there's been many views of what scars are. You know, you see warriors, like, especially in movies, you know, come out of battle and you have these scars, like someone maybe lose a limb or just, you know, get hit with a sword and you have these marks. Or, you know, soldiers that go over to war, you know, and come back, you know, with these scars and marks from, you know, explosions and gun wounds, you know. But they share a story of, you know, victory and defeat from battle. But it also shares the same story of glory and honor. But we can look at different scriptures and say, you know, like in Galatians 16:17, which is, this is going to be all in the ESV. For now, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And this is Paul talking about how he went, like, the things that he went through in his ministry. A lot of things that, you know, he endured was, he even says himself, he was thrice beaten with a rod, once he was stoned, and thrice he suffered shipwreck. Night and day he has been in the deep. So he went through a lot of stuff. And Paul has been declaring that he endured significant suffering and persecution for his faith in Jesus Christ, essentially saying, leave me alone because the marks on my body are commitment to Jesus, and they are all evident, signifying that he has already proven his devotion through hardship and does not need further questioning or criticism from other people about his belief. And that's why I look at, going through, in ministry, there's going to, and Pastor Robert probably can attest to it. It's like the people that, people you deal with that have come and gone, and people that, have left, either positive or negative impacts in your lives, but also putting in the hard work, where he's doing with foundation builders, and the work that he's doing and the callousness that is coming upon his hands, but a lot of other stuff to show that he's putting in the work saying that he's proven himself through his devotion on what he's doing for the Lord. Isaiah 53:5. This one's pretty, pretty well known. We should all know this. This is probably longer, okay. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that was brought peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Or another saying, by his stripes you are healed. Yeah. And it refers to the suffering of Jesus Christ and the spiritual and the physical healing that comes from his sacrifice. The spiritual healing being, this includes the cleansing from sin, living righteously, and being transformed into Christ's image. The physical healing is Jesus' wounds brought healing to the body, mind, and the spirit. And the redemption is Jesus' sacrifice took upon himself the sins of all people who believe in him as their Savior. Each lashing that he took, each scar is cleansing and purifying scar. Sorry, I get a little thirsty standing up here. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He comes to us and heals the wounds that have been left open by trauma, by the people who hurt us, by failed dreams, and by disappointments. The scars that are left are a visual display of how the Father works in us and around us. It shows us that he doesn't fail and he doesn't stop caring for us. It shows the goodness of the Father's heart and the love for his children to want us to be better. We get to look at those scars and see his good did and will continue to do. Now we get to look at some of the battle scars, and that's what I call this today, is battle scars can have different meanings. And then one of the meanings is the evidence of healing. Scars can be a sign of journey from pain to recovery and remind us of battles fought and won. Many times we look back at our failures and see the weight can be heavy. It can cause us to be without confidence and boldness. It can dictate how we often see our identity. Without the eyes and mind of Christ, we can be so easily lied to by ourselves and opposing forces. I had to put that in there because a lot of the times it's not really the enemy that's coming towards us telling us lies. It's our own selves. We can get so confused and thinking that it's always the enemy that's coming across to us. But we have a big part in the way that we think about ourselves. That's why we can look in the mirror and see who we truly are. But if we don't believe it and believe our identity in Christ, then we're just going to continuously pawn it off on something else and say, well, if this is what they think of me, this must be true. But it's like, no, if you solidify how you believe and believe yourself and in yourself, then you can change how what you think about everybody else and their opinion. And most of the time, you will see that it really doesn't matter at all. But when we renew our minds and change our lenses, we get to see that the past is a warrior's journey. It shows us that Father carries us forward through mercy as in a womb. Like I was talking about last time. It's through all everything that we go through, we are carried just like a womb. It's something that's comforting. It's something that's so peaceful. It shows victory that the things that were meant to destroy did not prevail. But it's also a symbol of humanity. Scars can represent the pain that is a part of being human, and that life is full of suffering that must be endured with strength. humanity can be painful. Going through life can be painful. There's going to be stuff that let us down. There's going to be relationships that let us down. There's going to be many times in life where we get, you know, sidetracked by different things, and we get hurt by different things. But we get to see that when we move forward. And a lot of people that have rose above and became great leaders, you know, they didn't skate by without any marks. It takes a lot of dedication and a lot of pain to go through specific things to get you to where you need to go. But it's not something that doesn't cause you to fail, even though failure can leave a scar. But the failure is not just falling down and not getting back up. It's showing that you got on that bike and you rode forward. And when you fell off of it, you got back on that bike and continued pedaling, even if the knee's skinned, even if the elbow's busted, even if you have a knot on your head. And I've been there, and it's not fun to have a knot on your head because you will get made fun. People make fun of you because of that. And it's very sensitive. For the longest time, I had I remember I was riding home from using the computers at the college and Dell Tech. And I was riding down the back road, and next thing you know, the chain snapped, and I go flying over the handlebars. And then I get and my knee hits the ground, and my hands and the elbows and stuff. And I remember having to pull a rock that was stuck in my knee out. And I still have like a little scar from that. And I always remind me, it's like, well, if I would have made sure my bike was fine before I took it out, then I'd probably would have been okay. But then again, it might have been one of them things where life hurts, you know. It's just humanity, like things in life just don't go your way, and sometimes it just happens. So I always remember that because that was painful. And also, like, remember, like, through the car accident, a lot of people here know that I was in a car accident a few years back. And I always have this, like, bump in my arm because there's a piece of glass still stuck in there. But it reminds me that, you know, that God was with me through that, because the way that the accident happened, it was so devastating that between me and my friend Evan, one of us probably should have perished in it, but by the grace of God, he was looking after us. And there was a lot less that happened to me than there probably should have been. There was no broken bones. I did have a lump on my head from that too. You know, there's something about my head getting lumped up that, you know, I think God kind of chuckles at, but he doesn't hurt me. He's not the one that hurt me. But, and I look at him like, ah, man, it was funny. It was a baseball. And but yeah, I remember the scar in my arm, and every time I rub it, I just, like, I think back to that moment. But I think about how God was greater than that accident. Yeah. And every time I want to, like, take something to dig it out, and I'm just like, I'm too much of a sissy to go through that pain. All right, now where am I at here? Yeah, humanity can be painful. We go through suffering, we go through broken hearts, physical sickness and pain. We don't see this as an enemy coming against us, but we can be seen as an adverse effect of this thing called life. We see that not everything is the enemy, but what we have to walk through We see that not everything is the enemy, but what we have to walk through to deal with by living in a broken world. The good thing is we get to cast this out, this weakness out onto our Father, and get strengthened to make it through no matter how hard life might be. The scars just solidify how good our Father is and how much we should cherish this beautiful thing called life. And it is, man. I get to stop and think about the past things, and it's everybody says, oh, look forward, you know, don't look in the rear view. But I cherish the things of the past. I cherish the struggles that I've been through. I cherish the things that, you know, that happened to me as a human that continuously built me up to be where I'm at today. I wouldn't have the same character if I didn't go through those things. And there's a lot of stuff that I go through today that I'm continuously enduring that's steady building me up. As painful as it might be at times, you know, whether it be the pain of loss or the pain of, you know, just not knowing where you're going, it puts me in a place to really cherish life more, because I, you know, I could so easily not be here today. And I don't want to talk about like the doom and gloom of, you know, like the past, my past. And, oh, I could have, you know, either overdosed and died or, you know, die from suicide. But no, it's like I see that as like, you know, I made this through, and life is beautiful because I get to see another day. And not just because I'm alone through this, because I get to walk hand in hand with Jesus. It shows a sign of commitment. Scars can be a sign of commitment to a cause such as the gospel and the suffering that comes with it. Like I was saying earlier, just like riding a bike when you're younger, unless you're able just to get on and ride, which is another funny story. I remember like my brother was starting to ride his bike, and they took his training wheels off, and I had gotten in trouble because I took my training wheels off my bike, and I just hopped on and started riding it, and my parents were angry at me for that, and that was a scar from that too. So, but I see it's like, but me, I think I take that as a medal because I was able to just hop on there and ride it, and I was like, man, I'm pretty. A pretty bad person. Yeah, but he had to still use the training wheels. Being the younger brother prevailing, you know, it was frowned upon, I guess. But for me, it's still the badge of honor. He's like, I got you. I beat you at something. If you play sports or even from the jobs we hold, just like I was talking about the hands earlier, it's like, for me, it's working on vehicles and the bust knuckles. But it's continuing to the end until you finish a job. It's like you get to see something, like if especially people that do stuff out of like charity, like you're building a house. Like I can look at the Habitat for Humanity, and I think about the stuff that they do for people and like how they build homes for people, and like when they come out of it, it's like they get to see the fruits of the labor that they provide, and you know the stuff that probably happened, like smacking their finger with a hammer or getting splinters and stuff, but they get to look back and say, like, this is the time where I got to bless a family, and they got to see the fruits of, like, you know, me just pouring out my heart towards them. And the same thing, like, doing stuff with vehicles, you know, helping somebody that doesn't have money go over their stuff, and let's say they need to change a tire or stopping on the side of the road and helping them, or, you know, changing the battery or changing the alternator, doing something simple, you know. And of course, like, you know, the bolts, they're never easy to, you know, take off. It's either one's rusted or seized up, and you end up smacking your hand against something. But you get to stop and think, it's like, you know, the pain that I endure through this is nothing compared to the love and the outpouring that I get to show these people. And it's like, I think about that, and I think about, and that's what, like, one of my biggest, why I love outreach so much, because the pain that you feel is less than, you know, the outcome of the situation. And there's of course, I already know there's people, I will get hurt through the process, but I don't look at that. I look at the end goal. I get to see Jesus at the end standing there waving and saying, like, look, this is the finish line. This is what you have to look forward to. I don't see the obstacles. I don't see the holes in the way. I don't see the times where I'm going to sit there and sprain an ankle, or I'm going to run and there's a bush of briars, but these are just like metaphors, but you can look at as like real life situations that have happened that cause pain to you. But it's like, I don't see those things because they're meaningless. The end goal is like looking at Jesus and reaching that and being just, and just continuously to be just like him. Each hurdle, each obstacle, I keep putting on more garments that he has. I get to put on the mind of Christ. I get to put on the heart of Christ. I get to do all these things that make me more like him. It could be a sign of wisdom. Scars can make people interesting and rise. They can help people appreciate life and prepare it for its adversities. Selah. Man, at this rate, you guys we'd be done by second breakfast. Oh man, I love it. Wisdom is displayed by showing the experience we had in life and learning from the hardships, either to do or not to do something a certain way, but to do it differently. What to look for and boundaries to set in place. It shows us the walls that have been torn down aren't needed, and I put aren't in there, and that's a Sussex County. That's a little bit of Sussex County for you. Aren't torn down, aren't needed, and the defense mechanisms that are used to push people away are nothing more than detrimental things that stop relationships from being made and risk being taken. Run on sentence. Punctuation is important, people. Remember that. I'm not an English teacher, as you can tell, nor a math teacher, so I do enjoy science, though. I think that's very interesting, and the more that you look at science, the more it lines up with who God is, and it's fascinating. It shows us how to deal with people differently when they hurt us, not in a way that says, I will avoid you completely, but by showing us how to navigate the difficulties that are displaying so we can better minister to them. I'll read that again because that's a hard one to chew on. It shows us how to deal with people differently when they hurt us, not in a way that says, I will avoid you completely, but by showing us how to navigate the difficulties that are displaying so we can better minister to them. But it also protects us from being hurt and wrung out. That's hard because how many times, like when people hurt you, it's so much easier just to throw them to the wayside and say, I can't deal with you because you hurt me too deeply. It could be like I was talking about last time I spoke about my father, and I was thinking about the stuff that he did, but like being able to overcome that mindset by the wisdom that I already dealt with in life from it before. It's like I get to go in with him having boundaries rather than putting up a wall saying like, I want to connect with you, but I'm only going to do it at a surface level. I'm not going to let you in. Having boundaries says, I'm going to let you into my heart, and I'm going to still love you even more. I'm going to love you more even if you don't love me. But if you don't love me back, then I'm not going to allow myself to be hurt by this. I'm going to know that you're in your own place and where you need to be, but I'm going to take a step back and say, okay, I'll let you live in the life that you want to live in and be okay with that. But it doesn't change the fact that for the love that I have for you. But I'm not completely shutting him out. I'm not saying like I don't want nothing to do with you. I mean, if he chooses not to have nothing to do with me, that's so be it. That's not my decision. But I remember when I was younger, I had a friend. Oh man, it was supposed to be a good friend, and I called him my best friend, and I had dealt with this relationship, and thinking back about it. And like to where I'm at today, it's like I can discern whether someone's, you know, rather using me or actually want me around. But this friend that I thought was my friend, I wasn't wise in my youth, as you can tell by this. Again, I'm bringing that back up. I'd become friends with them, and we always hung out. But I always become the center of the joke, and I was never really welcomed amongst the other people in the group, and it was like every time something would come up, it was either like, you know, either I was hungry, I was never fed, whether I was thirsty, I would never got a drink. It would always be a hassle, and it played into my self-esteem because that's how I thought friendships were like until I got younger and I met people who are actual friends to me. Talking about Jared, you know, he showed me what an actual friend was supposed to be, like the love and just the being non-judgmental and being there to do anything for me rather than this friend that didn't do that. And it took me the wisdom to be able to discern that. And there's people that come into my life that, you know, I could tell over a period of time, this is all they were out to is take advantage of my kindness. So I had to stop and think, it's like, I'd rather keep this person as an acquaintance. And I don't want to, the wisdom says not to expose too much of myself and put my too much onto them to where they get to know me at a certain level, which for me was good. Trying to see how I can word this better, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm. Give me a second here, Lord. So yeah, but it showed me that I can put up those boundaries in place to be able to see whether a person has my best interest in heart rather than them just out to use me. And something that I can, it's something that I was able to learn how to discern. And I wish I could back then because it ended up being hurt. And they still don't, and the person still doesn't understand, you know, how they were and why I don't reach out to them as a friend. Sorry if that didn't make sense. I completely apologize. I lost. I want to explain it in a way that's, you know, not, that's right. So amen to that. That's my problem, though. That's trying to be a perfectionist about everything. You know, it comes with the territory, I guess. My own territory, personal territory. But I'm overcoming that. It's just let it speak and let it be. Let God do the work here. But, yep, today I look back at that with wisdom, and now I can discern when someone has taken advantage of me so I can protect myself by calling out the truth, or what the truth is. That's it. Calling out what the truth is. But in other sense, I didn't use wisdom in other circumstances and have to learn to trust people better, but that's a message for a different time. Signs of encouragement. This is one of my favorite ones. Scars can remind people that they choose to take a risk or stay and struggle when they could have chosen the easy way out. Our job is to show people who don't know Christ that they are beautiful, even if coated with scars. Oops, sorry. These scars are physical and mental. We show the beauty of the scars by wearing them as a badge of honor and markers to show the goodness of Christ. This is where words fail, but the ultimate display of action changes the hearts of those we come in contact with. And that's one of the biggest things that I feel in outreach is important. And we can speak as many words as we can, but how many people today, that's all they do is talk? And what they talk about can seem like the truth, but it can come. But in the end, it's weightless. You know, it just blows away with the wind. But it's the action that they showed towards those people that solidified into something that's so much greater. And that's where it's like, you know, I'm saying, like, even me talk about, like, yeah, I want to do outreach. But it's like, no, it's the boots on the ground. It's like getting out there, being hungry to be able to do it and going out and touching those people. Not saying, like, my heart does explode for those people. And the more that I talk about it and the less that I do about it, it means nothing. It's meaningless. But it's the action that's back behind it, just saying that I'm going to get out there. And I'm gonna bear my scars. I'm gonna bear the things that I went through, and I'm gonna be honest with my testimony. That's good, because I know that's what's gonna draw people in. And I can see the beauty in behind it, and I can talk with boldness on the things that I went through. And it's the same thing with you guys. It's your experiences of the stuff that you've been through and the things that you endured inside of Christianity and outside of Christianity, the things that you continue to be built up as in this new life. And you get to pronounce that stuff to people, and that's what's going to draw people here, like draw people into the kingdom. And that's where my heart is looking forward to, like drawing more people in, just because I think about the scripture that says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And there's something powerful about it, because it's mentioned in the scripture. It's by the blood of Jesus. Letting them know what the blood of Jesus is and how powerful it is, but also knowing that the blood of Jesus is what touches our testimony. It's what allows that to have power behind it, because my testimony without Jesus behind it is I believe fully is nothing. But with him, the power comes from him. And I can glean on that weakness in myself to saying, like, I can be well with me. Like, why is my life so hard? But like, I see it as something, as a staple, saying, Lord, you have brought me through the pits of hell and show me what it is to stand on the mountain and understanding that it's you that done it all. Not an ounce of strength in me would have brought me out from where I was at before. Nothing could have brought me out from where I was before. It was him and only him and his power only. This is where words fail, but the ultimate display of action changes the heart of those who we come in contact with. We can even be in a place where when we operate fully like Christ, we can help mend the wounds that are open. Sozo is a great... is great in helping mend wounds by trading the lies that the past scars are always going to be ugly and off-putting to trading it for the truth that the scars are beautiful and show you made it through. And that's what I love about Sozo. And it's like through the Sozos I had, there's so many different things that I was able to heal from. And I can see that those wounds were closed. And there's some big difference between open wound and scars, is what I'm trying to explain here as well. We see in the mission field, by going into the bad places and showing the people they are worth it, that there is someone who bore it all to have freedom from the negative outlook that may be associated with the things they have gone through. And that's what I was just talking about. Stepping out and knowing that, like, because of Jesus bore it, that for me to have the freedom to speak and not have a negative outlook on my past is what's giving me the strength to step out. You get to relate to the people by sharing experience you've been through. For me, it's walking through hardships of addiction, abuse, and suicide. But each of us hold a specific experience and that are unique and have the power to impact differently. What you display and what you display can shake the very foundation in someone's life to bring them into a place of change in the way they view their life and self. And that's what it is. If you start to look at yourself more beautifully, I guess that's the right English context of how to say that word. If you look at yourself more beautifully, then other people will start to see you that way. And then they start to see themselves, and maybe they're not as ugly as they perceive themselves to be. And then it starts to rub off on other people. Like, and then they start to see the beauty in their self, because then they start to say, "I see what that person has." And as a cliche it is, like, I see what they have. Now I want what they have. And it's the truth, because it happens so often. A lot of people that are living in lives that are miserable, and until they come in contact with someone that has joy, they don't understand what joy is until they get it to us displayed to them. If that makes sense. I think it does. Good. Thank you. Amen. There we go. It starts by having a different view of our scars that we hold. If we can look at them differently, then the people around us will start to see them differently. And also see theirs differently, just like I said. All this to say, it's both mental, or it's all mental, emotional, and physical scars, not just one or the other. This has to do with all of them. Now we go to Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We could be emotionally and mentally scarred from relationships, situations that may have caused negative thoughts and mindsets, circumstances beyond control, and just life moments that cause a specific feeling, all that I explained before. Just like those embarrassing moments as a teenager you might have had. You could probably remember those. I swear, I don't know if it's a sense, like, it, my mind does this, but I'll go back to a specific point to where I've done something embarrassing, and I'll just sit there for like 20 minutes cringing at the fact that I allow myself to do that as a youth. I don't know if you guys ever had those moments where it's just like, ugh. It's like, I wish I never would have done that. It's like, I get to relive it as a motion picture in my mind. How fun.
Keyword is you.
Huh? Keyword is you. The Lord is close to you in all this, mending you and bringing you into a place of comfort from the affliction. He's with you when you endure the weight of the scars. That's upon you, and when you don't understand why you have to bear it, he shows you what it's like to draw hope even from the darkest times and to provide joy in the rough and bleak moments. We are to walk and live like Jesus lived in all aspects. I believe Jesus carried scars from being hurt by people who were close to him, but he trusted the Father. He trusted the Father with those scars and with those things that he endured, and in return was filled with wisdom, with direction, and with understanding, and vision to ultimately see a people soon set free, which is what we reap the benefits of the day. And then I'll close out with some good quotes here. This one's from Albert Hubbard, and he says, "God will not look you over for medals, degrees, or diplomas, but for scars." And I like that. It's not all the things that are material, but it's the things that we endured. Hosea says, "One man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars, and the world would be better for this." That's Miguel de Cervantes. I think that's how you say his name. Heroes always have scars. Some of you can see, some you can see, and some you read about later on. That's George Foreman. I think I am a walking testimony that you can have scars. You can go through turbulent times and still have victory in your life. Natalie Cole. To be alive at all is to have scars. John Steinbeck. Some people see scars and it's the wounding they remember. To me, they are proof of the fact that there is healing. And that is Linda Hogan. And that is all I got. So, second breakfast, everybody. Amen. So, Father God, I just pray today, Lord, that we get to look at our scars differently from here on out. If we haven't seen them as something beautiful, Lord, just continue to change our heart and our mindset towards it, because it's going to be it's a badge of honor. It shows the people out there that we endured many things in life and experiences. But for us, it's to show that it's how we came into the love of Christ and where we're at now, Father. And we get to show that your power that's working through us, God, even in our weakness, Lord, when we had these wounds and we didn't know how to find healing from them, Lord, that you came through and you showed us what healing looks like, Lord. And I just bless this house, Lord, as a continuous place of healing for people coming in, Father, and that they can see that their wounds will be healed, Father. Lord, and I just ask that you bless the Sozo ministry, Father, that it continues to show people the truth, Lord, and to get to trade in those lies of what they have picked up for so long. God, I ask that you touch the hearts of the people today just through their coming and going, Father, that they get to display the scars of the people out there, that they can see that they are beautiful as well, that what they bear is nothing that is hindering them in life, that's holding them back, that is causing them to feel hopeless. It doesn't have to be that way, Lord, but they can use that as something that can help somebody else, but also see something as victory in their lives for the things that they already went through. God, and I just pray that they find healing, Lord, that they can endure those scars, Father. God, I ask that today that we can just be in your presence even deeper, Lord. God, we could just love you and just thank you, God, for just all that you allowed us to go through. How we're so grateful that you're a good Father and that you're always with us. We think that you're always, you just delight in our coming and our going and just being with us, Father. And we delight being with you and we delight dwelling with you, Lord. I just ask that you're just with us the rest of this day and throughout the week, Lord. And just continue to bless us and lift us up, God. Allow us to have joy. Allow us to have peace. God, there's nothing that can hold us down, Father, as long as you're with us. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Thank you. If you guys need prayer, it's up here. Yep, like Motel 6, the light's always on. But don't go to a Motel 6 because they're not that.